Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Get all your GAA essentials at Michael Murphy Sports, the go-to place for outdoor training gear and more at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be talking rugby with Alec McDonald as we focus in on the closing stages of the local rugby season. Plus, we'll hear from Donegal senior hurling manager Mickey McCann, who start their Christy Ring Cup Championship this coming weekend against their neighbours Derry. That's all to come later on in the programme. But first of all, we're going to start with our weekly League of Ireland chat. Finn Harps and Derry City both have games tomorrow night. Harps are on the road against Wexford Youth, looking to continue their recent good run of form, while Derry City are playing host to the league leaders, Drogheda United. To look at those two games and the rest of the big fixtures this coming weekend, I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by our regular contributor and former Finn Harps skipper, Declan Boyle. Declan, nice to have you in studio. Good to see you.
Yeah, delighted to be here. Lovely day outside.
Yeah, are you enjoying the good weather?
Absolutely, yeah. We're office-based all the time, but yeah, enjoying the good weather.
Yeah, but for, like, obviously you'd be involved with the Sligo group. Makes training a wee bit easier, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everybody's in good form and plenty of energy as well, which helps, you know. So it's nice to be training in good weather.
Yeah. How's your team going at the moment, anyway?
Mixed up and down a wee bit. Couple of bad results there, but yeah, listen, we're back on the weekend again now. We have Athlone at home now on Sunday, so we need to get 3 points.
Right, okay. Well, let's focus on the senior action, and we do have Finn Harps away from home against Wexford. The last time me and you spoke was when Kevin McHugh was appointed, and I suppose, what, since that, 2-1s and a draw. He's slotting in there rightly, so he is, and it seems to be the squad's responding as well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, listen, obviously, I think last week, I think he was debating whether he was going to take it or not. I think that was it was to be sorted out or settled out. But yeah, listen, delighted, obviously, that Kevin got the opportunity. He definitely has done his time in the club with through the academies and the underage structures and managing some of the underage teams as well. So, and obviously this year he got the opportunity to be involved in the first team setup and got the opportunity. Delighted to see him getting that. So he's well deserved. But yeah, listen, the players have responded in a positive manner and results as well have shown that, you know. But loads of work to be doing, obviously, and Kevin knows that better than anybody else. But yeah, listen, last weekend obviously they drew with Longford, so they're big. Trip to Wexford, who are going reasonably well there, and so that'll be a hard game for them away from home. But yeah, it's probably one that him and his team are looking forward to.
You would take a point, I'm sure, on the road on Friday night again.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's just important to keep the results going. You mentioned it, like, you know, it's just unbeaten and getting another draw potentially, but you never know. I mean, down to Athlone didn't play that well and got a result. I know Athlone are bottom of the table, like, but it's very, very tight. A lot of teams are close together, you know, so if you can bounce off two or three results, you can fly up the table very, very quickly. But yeah, listen, it's important and keeps that, you know, run going and keeps that positivity within the team, and can get a draw potentially and even get steal 3 points or something like that, we'd be a lot more than delighted.
Yeah, things certainly going in the right direction for Finn Harps, but they are a very, very young squad, so they are. And I suppose the experience of Kevin and some of the other members of the backroom team, it's going to be telling and trying to bring these young men along, because there will be more downs and ups along the way, so they will.
Yeah, no, that's what you're going to get with younger players coming in. And, you know, you get loads of energy, enthusiasm, you know, you get a wee bit of innocence as well. And, you know, there are a few experienced players down the spine of the team which will help the younger lads, you know. And it's just important that, you know, they keep at it. There are going to be ups and downs, as you mentioned. There are going to be ones where they play really well in performances. But it's trying to get where the performance level is at a standard and a good standard week in, week out. And that's if you're playing on a good standard all the time, you get results eventually. But, you know, it's giving these players the opportunity, they're getting the opportunity, giving them the experience to play in the first division potentially. And then the idea would be to keep them all together and they'll progress. And in years to you, then you've got a really, really good structured, experienced team that maybe then could go on and have a big impact and try to get into the Premier League.
Yeah, and obviously a couple of big games on the horizon as well for Harps to come, because there's a double weekend of games over Easter, Good Friday and Easter Monday. One of those is home to Kerry. Kerry is going to be no walkover, and the other one, then you're going to Well, can we call them the champions elect at this stage? Can we, Dundalk, in the first division so early on?
Yeah, listen, you know, and to be fair, I mean, when Hearts played Dundalk, obviously, in Finn Park, they played really, really well and was very determined. Yes. But Dundalk have just won, pushed on, and 22 points, obviously, you know. So, you know, I think so they've done really well. Like seven wins and one draw, potentially, you know. So they've done really well. So obviously, it looks that way at the minute. And, you know, they're pushing away. They're, Bray are in 16, they're closest. Team to them, obviously, but yeah, listen, they'll be looking to push on. But it's important, first of all, to take it one game at a time, as you know, Washington, and can they get 3 points, obviously, away to Wexford, and then obviously Kerry then at home, looking to get three points there at home. And I think Kevin mentioned previously about making sure that they get results at home, and that keeps the fans all engaged as well, and that's really, really important. But yes, 3 points against Wexford, hopefully, and then bring them into Kerry.
Yeah, it's a bit strange, like, Harps give Bray a good tank insulated, and there Bray are sitting way up at the top end of the table.
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, what was 5-0, was it?
Right? Yeah,
5-0, it was the scoreline, and I know the Bray got a player sent off in the 30th minute or so, but at that stage, even Harps were very, very comprehensive and well on top, you know, and went on to win the game and looked very, very comfortable throughout that. So it just shows you, you know, it's that wee bit of confidence. If they start scoring a few goals as well, that's obviously been an area that needs to be addressed. You know, obviously, Joel came on last week and scored a goal from a header, obviously, from a set play, and that gets them a draw against Longford. But trying to get consistently scoring goals, and that'll obviously push you up a table. But yeah, interesting to see the Bray are in second at 16 points.
Yeah. So the rest of the fixtures in the first division, along with Wexford against Harps, we've got Dundalk against Cove Ramblers, which is a big game in the first division this week. Kerry taking on Athlone Town, Bray Wanderers against Treaty United, and Longford Town are playing UCD. There is 4 games to come in the Premier Division on a Friday night, and Derry City are taking on flying high Drogheda United.
Yeah, we never thought we'd be saying that, would we? Like, you know, brilliant for Drogheda United and Kevin Doherty and his squad of players. They've, you know, they've definitely took a massive bounce after winning the FAI Cup. Obviously playing Derry now again, who they beat in the FAI Cup in Aviva. So they've done really well and got a lot of big results as well, and their performances have been good. So that'll not be an easy game for Derry. Derry have got a bit of a bounce, obviously. You know, last week they beat Cork 2-1, you know, and they've got a few results. They drew away with Shamrock Rovers, beat Sligo Rovers away as well, and drew with Galway at home. So their results have been better. You know, the performances have been okay. I think Michael Duffy's been on sensation form.
Yeah. Only for him, you could say.
Yeah, I would actually agree. I mean, I watched him up on the showgrounds against Sligo Rovers, and he was just brilliant. And it's not just the quality that he gives you, but it's just his work ethic and his attitude, you know, to work up and to work down, but his penetrating runs, he's scoring goals on top of that. So he's been probably the best player so far throughout the whole season, and they need to keep him fit as well. That's a massive plus, so they can keep him on the pitch. But he's been really, really good for Derry City, and I know they've brought in a lot of players and they're trying to find their feet, and there's, you know, players been mixed in and changed around a wee bit, so I'm not sure if he knows his best 11 yet. That'll come obviously with time, but you know, they've got good results in the last while, not conceding too many goals, you know, defensively quite good as well, so not scoring a lot neither, but they're not, you know, they're keeping things nice and tight. So that's a game that they could go, actually should go and win and beat Drogheda United, but it'll not be an easy one.
It'll not be an easy one for Derry, but they will of course be looking to avenge that defeat in the Cup. The other games in the Premier Division, St Patrick's Athletic are taking on Cork City. Cork obviously sitting in the bottom positions in the table, second bottom, but you would expect Stephen Kenny's side to come through that one at Turner's Cross tomorrow evening.
Yeah, well, Cork's been good at home, you know. I think Rory Keating got a really bad injury against Derry last week, so he could be potentially out for a long time. He's definitely not available against St Pat's. You're looking at the quality of players that St Pat's have at the top end of the pitch, real, real quality, and can change any 3 of those players and bring on another 3 players as well. They've got real, real quality. St Pat's, it'll not be an easy game against Cork. Cork going well, big crowd down Turner's Cross as well. Good, really good energy about the place. They've a lot of new players come in into the league, but they've done really well with the players that he has on his disposal. But St Pat's, with the quality that they have, they could end up getting 3 points and going ahead, Drogheda United over the weekend.
Shelburne against Bowes, the big Dublin games keep coming, so they do. That's going to be a tasty enough affair, is it?
Yeah,
on Friday night.
Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. I mean, Bowes obviously beat Sligo 4-2 last weekend, and Shelburne, you know, are coming in a mixed bag of form, really. They, you know, they haven't been brilliant, and they're still really hard to play against and beat.
But it's the sort of game you throw form out on.
It does go out to one. Dublin derbies always do, you know. Like Alan Reynolds got 3 points last weekend. That takes a wee bit of pressure on. There was a lot. I just seen things online and it wasn't too positive towards him, you know. So he got 3 points. So the Bowes fans, as you know, would be very, very hard to keep happy. They got 3 points last weekend. And bring a wee bit of energy into the Shelburne game, but I just think Shelburne will give too much for Bowes at the minute.
Yeah, there'll be a fantastic atmosphere for that one. Yeah.
And probably on top of that, it'll be sold out. You know, and most of those derbies now are sold out, massive crowds, and it's brilliant to see the Premier League. You know, I often say to people, go and watch it, because it's a really, really good standard of football now at the minute. And you know, Sligo Rovers are playing Galway. There could be 500 Galway fans in the showgrounds on Saturday night, and you know that energy is there all the time. And big crowds all over the league. So that just shows you that it's definitely up and coming, and things are well improved, and the quality that the quality of the games are really, really good. So
Listen, Waterford in the early days of the season were sitting top of the table, but it hasn't been their way over the last they've lost four out of the last five, so they haven't. They've dropped down now into. Looks like the bottom three in the standings, but they're taking on a Shamrock Rovers side who's the flip of that. They're just slowly picking things up and working their way. They've got a game in hand, actually. If they were to win that game in hand, it would put them, a point off the top?
Big weekend for Shamrock Rovers, so you mentioned it. They should beat Waterford at home, for sure, and then they've got Cork at home as well. So they've got double header over the weekend, so possibly six points. For Stephen Bradley and his players, look, at the quality of players they have, you expect them to beat Waterford, beat Cork as well, I think, even though Cork have done really well up in Tala over the last couple of years, and they've got big results and draws out of it, but I still expect Shamrock Rovers now to get 6 points, as you say, and that'll push them up the table. Slowly, you know, the last couple of years they've been slow to get started, and that's probably a bit of a hangover from the European adventure, because they've been training throughout the whole off season, and that's a disadvantage. Obviously, financially, it's brilliant for the club. And the players get good bonuses as well, I would think, but it also means they get no rest time. So they're slow to start, but they're starting to hit their stride now, and I expect them to get two big results the weekend. Waterford started really well, got big results at the start, and they should have dropped off a wee bit. And Keith Long, manager, probably wouldn't be happy with their performances. But I kind of look at the table now, and you see, obviously, Sligo Rovers are down there with 4 points, and then you've got Cork and Waterford, and I see those three teams that'll be down there fighting for that dreaded relegation spot and the playoff spot.
Yeah, obviously, Sligo, a side that you have a very close association with, giving you the under-19 manager.
Yeah.
But their senior side, listen, bottom of the table, but they've got a huge derby. Saturday night. Galway United are coming to town.
Yeah.
And is this another game that we can say, right, throw form out the window? From a Sligo point of view, you're probably hoping that.
I think so. Listen, it's going to be a hard one for Sligo Rovers. I mean, you look at Galway and their first loss last weekend against Shamrock Rovers, and surprisingly it was from a set play. They didn't defend, and they've been normally the teams that score from long throws and set plays and free kicks, because they're a big physical team, you know. I look at Galway and I see similar to Nottingham Forest in the Premier League, the way they play. You know, and that's a real positive, because they drop in, they make it difficult, they play five, you know, nice and tight together, and they drop in and deep, and then they try to hit teams in the counter-attack, and they play it really, really well. They defend the box well, and then when they get set plays and throw-ins, they're a real, real threat as well. But they can play as well on top of that, but they're really structured, hard to play against, defensively very, very good. And, you know, this can be a difficult match for Sligo Rovers, because Sligo are probably the opposite of all that. They're free-flowing, you know, the teams were scoring goals against them, and giving away bad goals as well. Lost four to weekend. Now, in fairness to John Russell and the squad, they were very depleted. I think they'd four suspended for the match, had one or two injuries as well. And at the very end, about 25 minutes to go, there was six of the academy players that were on the pitch, you know. So that just shows you that they were under a bit of pressure in regards to numbers and injured players as well. But yeah, listen, a big match. Sligo have to start producing big performances, and this is going to take a big performance. Against a really good, well-organized Galway team, who end up could push into the top one or two positions at the very, very end of Saturday night.
Sligo, Derry, and Harps result Friday night would be a good start to the weekend.
I think so, yeah.
Is it a tall ask?
Yeah, listen, I think Derry should win at home for sure. They should beat Drogheda United. I think a draw would be a good result for Finn Harps away to Wexford. And then I'm not 100% sure. I'm going up the game and Sligo against Galway. Anything could happen. Sligo need 3 points badly, and I'm expecting a reaction from them. But it will be very, very difficult. It could end up a 2-2 draw or something like that.
Okay. Listen, Declan, we appreciate you calling up to the studio. Good to see you as always.
Great to be here.
And enjoy the football the weekend. All right.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Oisin.
Elsewhere on the soccer front, but locally in the Donegal Junior League, there's a couple of important fixtures taking place, particularly on Sunday in Division 1. It's the final series of games, and one of three sides will be crowned champions this coming weekend. The leaders going into the weekend, Glenae United, they took on Castlefin Celtic. Glenae have 37 points. One behind them on 36 is Donegal Town, who hosts Ballybofey United. And one behind that on 35 is Laggan Harps, and they play host to Gweedore United. So there's lots to play for, but Glenae, of course, know they lead the way at the moment, and a win will secure the title for them and promotion under the top flight, of course, as champions of Division 1. It's going to be an interesting day, to say the least, as that part of the league comes to an end. Letterkenny Rovers are going to be presented with the Premier Division trophy in the first top flight game of the weekend. That's tomorrow night, Friday, when they host Kilmacrenan and Celtic. The other games are all being played on Sunday afternoon. And there could be double joy for Letterkenny, of course, because they can lift the Donegal Saturday Division 2 title as well this weekend. They play Gweedore Celtic on Saturday afternoon, and a win there for Letterkenny, and they will also be crowned champions, making the move up into Saturday Division 1 as champions of that section as well. In any show, and I suppose taking centre stage this weekend is semi-finals off a couple of cup competitions. In the Clubman Church Cup, Allier playing Cockhill Celtic, and Buncrana Hearts are up against Clonmany Shamrocks. While in the Charlie O'Donnell Cup, Glengage United will play Cockhill Youths, and Dunry United are playing Quigley's Point Swifts. All those matches kick off at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Okay, it's time for a break here on The Score. When we come back, we'll have hurling and rugby.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking a full range of Donegal jerseys and leisure wear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score programme. Well, our feature match on the Gaelic Games front this weekend comes from Celtic Park and Derry on Saturday afternoon, as Derry play host to Donegal in the opening round of the Christy Ring Cup. It is, of course, the start of the championship for Donegal. These two sides met a number of weeks ago at the end of the league, where Derry gave Donegal a bit of a whipping on that occasion. And Derry secured their place, of course, in Division 2. And from a Donegal point of view, it was disappointing. They made the drop down to Division 3 for next season. But they're set to clash once again. This is the first of five games for Donegal. And I'm delighted to say, joining us now on the programme is the Donegal senior hurling manager, Mickey McCann. How are you doing? Thanks for joining us this evening, Mickey.
Thanks, Oisin.
Well, listen, Mickey, we've got the sun high in the sky. There's not a cloud in the sky today either. It's nice and warm. And it makes, I suppose, prep for a championship a wee bit easier these good evenings.
Yeah, it does. I suppose we had a couple of clouds over our own heads after the match against Derry, you know, in the last day of the league. But preparation has been good. The weather's been mixed that wee bit better and easier, you know. And look, we've been going and training very well since the Derry game, and we're just trying to right the wrongs, you know, from that result.
What did you say to the players after that game, Mickey? Because it was a really difficult one to stomach. And listen, it was a heavy defeat, but Donegal's not that bad of a hurling team, so they're not. But how did you address it with the group afterwards?
Look, I think after the match, Oisin, they regrouped themselves, and the management sort of stayed away from them until Tuesday night, because we were very angry. I was very angry, and the backroom team, you know, and the players felt like they let themselves down. So look, we let them regroup themselves in a huddle after the game, and we regrouped on Tuesday night and went through it. You know, at half time, I just felt that I did have a go at them, you know. I felt that we rolled over very easy, Oisin, you know, and the body language was poor once Derry got on top of us, you know. And that team's not about that, because we've showed great resilience over the last few years that even we're in tight spots, we can make a comeback out of it. But we just, the manner of it and the way we sort of lay down and that Derry steamroll us, we weren't happy about. looking back at the game, Ash, like maybe in the first 15 minutes, we shot ourselves out of it. You know, that both teams had scoring chances, maybe three or four scoring chances each in the first 10 or 12 minutes, and we hit wide, and Derry was 4-0 up. So, and then we had another couple of wides, and they were 6-0 up. And I just felt we killed our own momentum and built theirs. You know, we were hitting wides, and they were getting in our faces and the snow. So, and after that, that was one-way traffic. Gosh, you know, so I think the game was lost in that first 20 minutes, really, you know.
Yeah, but when you are at your lowest point, I suppose, Mickey, that's when you particularly young players get the most learning out of it, and you have to take something away from that so you do that can only benefit you down the line.
Yeah, and you have to learn it on the sideline myself too, what I can do different and what we can bring different this week, you know. But a lot of it go back to the old cliches, like our work rate was way down, Oisin, the intensity we brought, our attitude, body language, everything that you expect as a manager to go into a big game wasn't there on the day, and it happens, you know. We just went flat, and it's making sure, we talked about it, that doesn't happen 2 days in a row. You know, you don't mind getting beat by a good team like Derry, but that gap in the scoreboard is not, I don't think it's there between the two teams, you know, and we showed that through the league. So we're just looking to get a performance back to the level we can get at, Oisin. Probably the thing we talk about most is that performance is in it, but if you want to do it and stay at them levels, you have to do it consistently, and it's something we haven't been doing. You know, we had a good league, great victory over Kerry, and you've Kerry beaten Derry handy enough. So the performance is in it, but consistently performing at that level, Oisin, has been an issue, and I suppose that's the learning you have to take from it. And look, on a front, I think Derry were sort of wrote off through that league that they were in a bad place and all the rest, but I think that their target to start a league would have been get points off Tyrone, ourselves and Meath, and they've done that. So and they've all the bodies back now, Oisin, so they're definitely a damn good side, and Derry Hurling is a strong club level. So we've no doubt what we're up against, Oisin, but I think we have to take the learnings from it and come into it in a better state of mind this time, you know.
The focus is now very much Championship. You're in the Christy Ring Cup, and this is a place that you wanted to be for quite a few years, Mickey, and you're now here, and you have to make the most of it.
Yes, Oisin, and suppose you'll have to pick up 4 points first and foremost to make sure you stay there, which is very important for us. You know, whatever, I think Donegal in the league next year, possibly get back up again, you know, the two teams promoted, but getting to Christy Ring level is not easy. So it's very important, Oisin, first and foremost, we get a couple of victories in this, at this level, and stay here for a year or two and try to find our feet. So we'll be targeting our home games there, you know. We'll target all games, to be fair, but you're going to have to make sure you get 2-1s to stay in it at this level. So we know every match is going to be so important, but look, one match at a time, we'll be trying to do our very best and get a result in Derry, first of all, and then we're home to Wicklow, which is going to be a must-win if we want to get a decent start in Championship, you know.
Yeah, what sort of shape are Wicklow in this year? Obviously, you guys have a bit of history with them in the Nicky Rackard competition, but they seem to be a county that are very strong 1 year, and then the next year they're slightly weakened. So what sort of Wicklow outfit is there for the Christy Ring this year for you, Mickey?
I think they're a bit stronger, Oisin, than the last couple of years now. They beat us in the Nicky Rackard final a couple of years ago, and they'd had a few retirements that year, you know, and they're in a bit of transition, but they have a good setup now again, a good manager, and they competed well in that Division 3 this year, so nothing's going to be easy. As I say, we haven't took our focus off Derry yet, but we know Wicklow is going to be a must come Letterkenny in a couple of weeks' time, but we expect that 50-50 games, actually you might be playing a division above them in the league, but as we know, Wicklow, if they get all the hurlers out, they're well able to put it up to us, you know.
Yeah. I know you're focusing on the Derry match, but I'm just mentioning the home games here. London as well are also going to come to the O'Donnell Park. And listen, that's going to be a difficult tie, because London are up in the Division 2, a place you were this year, earlier this year. So London are really on the move, so they are.
Yeah, seem to have a strong outfit this year, you know, and they have Anthony Nash, the former Cork goalkeeper, over coaching them. So they're putting a big push in, and I was just reading about them, and it's the first time they have full grounds over there, full-size pitch to train on, and a good setup and facilities. So they just listen to their manager. They say that they put in a big shift this year. You know, most years you maybe catch them for fitness and all the rest, but I think this London team will be setting their sights and possibly giving this Christy Ring a good rattle. You know, they've been there in the final before, so and if, as you say, you don't know what they have from 1 year to the next, but They're in a strong position this year, and look, they'll fancy themselves of getting a victory off any team in the Christy Ring, you know.
And just back to the Derry game and your own preparations, Mickey, looking forward to it. Do you have everybody available that you want for this game at the weekend?
Well, with Patrick Doherty, who's been out for a few weeks there, and he's still, look, gosh, he could be out for another few weeks. He hurt himself in training. Gavin Brown has picked up a slight shoulder injury, who's going to be out, you know. But overall, we're fairly good, Oisín. We have 28, 30 training every night, and there's no complaints that way. So, and I say, we had a full-strength team against Derry the last day, so I think both teams are fairly well healed, that most players are available for them, you know. So, look, we're looking forward to it, Oisín, to just try to set things right, that we're not as bad as we showed that day, you know.
Yeah. Just finally, Mickey, and I'm going to throw a curveball here at you just to wrap things up. Obviously, Derry were written off in the league campaign, but we've seen what their true metal is in the last couple of weeks of the league, and they're fixed very well going into the championship. People will be looking at this fixture off the back of what happened at the O'Donnell Park, and they'll be writing Donegal off. But do you believe that there is a performance in this Donegal team that can actually pull off a win in Oneberg on Saturday?
Yes, Oisín, I think, look, if we can hit the levels and that we can, you know, as we showed through that league, we can compete with anybody, you know. I think, you know, if we're a below par, Derry could steamroll us again. I think if we're at our very best, we can bring that game down the stretch, you know, and just up things in defence and be more clinical up front. And just looking at Derry, they've been so clinical in front of the post, Oisín, like in the last two games, I think, against Meath, 116 at half time, you know, with just two wides, and against us they had 15 points out of 17 shots. So it's something we got to get more pressure on their shooters and put the pressure on that way and keep the scoreboard ticking over for ourselves. You know, we didn't really put no scoreboard pressure on them the last day. But as I say, if we're off at Oisín, they have the ability to do the same to us again. But I think if we turn up, which I think we will this time, that'll be a lot tougher and tighter game.
Listen, Mickey, thanks for taking the call this evening, and all we can do is wish you and the guys the very best of luck in that championship opener at the weekend in Oneberg against Derry. Thanks, Mickey.
Okay, thanks, Oisín.
So, Donegal play Derry. One other game as well. Tyrone are playing Wicklow down in Wicklow in Aucrim. That one starts a wee bit earlier, 1 o'clock on Saturday. The Donegal game is at 3 o'clock. That's on the hurling front on Saturday. Also this weekend, hurling-wise, club-wise, that is, there is fixtures in the hurling league to be played tomorrow night, Friday. McCool's to go on Arua, Ballyshannon. St. Eunan's versus Burt, Buncrana, Meath Dunlowan, Cairn Donna are taking on Satanta. There is a full programme of matches taking place in the All-County League, spread over 2 days this weekend. There's matches in Division 2 and Division 3 on Saturday. And then there's a further number of games in Division 2 on Sunday, with all of the 6 Division 1 games being played Sunday afternoon. There, Buncrana against Kilcar, 4 Masters meet Glenfin, Glenswilly take on Neave Connell, St. Eunan's play Mallon, Termon play Gweedore, and Downing's take on St. Michael's, all starting at 3 o'clock on Sunday. Francis Mooney will have updates from Tyrone against Cavan in the quarter-final of the Ulster Senior Football Championship. That's at Healy Park in Omagh on Sunday. It starts here in Highland at 4:15. By the way, forgot to tell you, in the hurling, Chris Ashmore will be at Oneberg, and we will have live regular updates from that match between Derry and Donegal in the hurling on Saturday. Our final piece on the programme tonight comes from the world of rugby. We're into the closing stages of the local season. Strabane have a big playoff, promotion relegation playoff, that is, against Coleraine this coming weekend. And there's a very important match for Omagh coming as well in a number of weeks' time, where they look to stay in a senior rugby. So let's have a brief recap of the season and talk about the upcoming games as well. We're joined now on the show by our rugby correspondent, Alec McDonald. A very good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening, Oisín. Very well, thanks.
Well, listen, Alec, there's still lots to play for as we head into the close of the season. We'll talk about Letterkenny and City of Derry in a few moments' time, but Strabane have a huge game on Saturday. They're away from home against Coleraine. There's lots at stake here because it's a promotion relegation playoff. So essentially, whoever wins will be playing in the same championship structure as Letterkenny and City of Derry next year, and whoever loses will be playing in Championship 3. How tall an order is it for Strabane to get through this game at the weekend?
Well, it's a very interesting one, Oisín, and as you said there, this is the both the relegation games, and both are being played. Sabam, they make the journey up to Coleraine, and in the Championship 2, it's Carrickfergus, who had a very good season. They play Grosvenor. So those games, I'll decide who plays where. From Sabam's point of view, I was looking up their statistics. They finished second this year, and they played 18 games. They won 14 and drew 2. So they only lost 2 games in the whole season, and that was a tremendous performance. They have been going very well. They have a young South African fullback who plays for them, and apparently he has been scorching around the grounds and scoring a lot of tries. I was, as you know, I did that Coleraine Letterkenny game whenever Letterkenny came back in that last 15 minutes scoring 3 converted tries. That defeat actually really put Coleraine in the position they're in now, because at that stage, if Coleraine had got anything out of that game, it could have been a very interesting for them. Andy Ward, the former Ireland Ulster wing forward, he took over the coaching this year. From what I saw that day, they looked a reasonable side, but it was the way they folded in that 15 minutes when the pressure came on from Letterkenny. I was quite amazed. Now, I know that Strabane have a very good set of backs. They also have a very abrasive set of forwards, as they've always had in Strabane. And I would say that with the crowd that will be coming up from Strabane to this game, I would say the atmosphere will be electric. And from Coleraine's point of view, you know, a club who used to be very much a Championship 1 team, if they were to relegate to Championship 3, it would be a big blow to a club. But all in all, it's very hard to call, Oisin, but I would say the motivation is more with Strabane than it would be with Coleraine, from my point of view.
Yeah, so certainly lots to play for. But the thing about this is, Alec, even though if Strabane won at the weekend and whoever wins the respective other promotion relegation playoffs as well, nothing is set in stone until the OMA game is done and dusted with towards the end of the month, because they, of course, finished in the bottom placings in All-Ireland League Division 2C, and they now have to go to a playoff against a junior side, which still has to be determined who their opposition will be. But the outcome of that game will then determine if the results of the promotion relegation games in the Ulster Championships stand. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. The game, the final of the All-Ireland Provincial Playoffs, it takes place on Saturday at Kildare, and that is Bective play Thomond. And the losers of that game will then travel to play OMA at Mellon Park. As you said, OMA finished second bottom, haven't had a very, very good end of the season. In fact, they played it, their end of the season was tremendous, and that's what kept them in this position. If OMA were to beat either Thomond or Bective, depending who it is, and by the way, that game's on the 24th of April, so I would imagine there'll be a massive crowd go to that, because all the teams we're talking about all have an interest in what happens there. If OMA were to win that game, then promotion and relegation would go as usual. If OMA were to lose that game, that would mean that the only one team would be promoted, and even the two sides, or the two games that we're talking about, the Strabane game and the Carrick game, they would have to stay in Championship 2 and Championship 3. So as I say, both the two playoffs on Saturday are really important to win that. And I mean, OMA at home, with the experience they have maybe against the junior side, who knows what could happen. But it certainly makes it a very exciting end of the season. And I would think that the OMA on the 24th of April will have a massive crowd, because there's so many teams that have got an interest in that game.
Yeah, there certainly is. But OMA will be going into it in good shape, Alec, off the back of that those fine performances in the closing weeks of the season.
They will do, and they've actually, there's two or three of their injured very good players who'll get back in that into those games. And certainly I would say that, you know, that they have everything to, experience will count a lot for that. And as I say, it'll be a massive crowd there. And I would think, you know, that all Strabane, Carrickfergus, Coleraine, or whoever's there, I would say they'll all be supporting OMA as well, because it's, if OMA stay up, it means that all these clubs step up another division.
And Alec, obviously, if OMA lose, they are dropping out of senior rugby, which would be another catastrophic blow for this region in relation to rugby terms. We did, of course, have City of Derry flying high at one stage in All-Ireland League. They now find themselves in Ulster Championship 2. If defeat was to come the way of OMA, again, there would be no senior club from this region at that level of rugby in the country.
No, I suppose the nearest you would have, Oisin, is Rennie, who are in Division 2B. But it's interesting, you know, that when you say that there about Francis Ouma and City of Derry, when you look for further north, when you think, you know, that Ballyclare and did have done so well, haven't been promoted, you know, and it just shows you that sometimes the pendulum can swim. But I would be confident that Ouma, given the experience that they've had, Thomond were a senior Thomond, I think, will be the team they'll be playing, because Spective, I think, have been in this final for 4 years. They're coached by Mick Jackman, who does a lot of work in RTE, and he, as a coach, apparently has paid a considerable amount of money. And they, you know, I think that this time Beckett will be hoping that they get through. If they do, Thomond were a senior club. I remember reporting on Thomond and City of Derry. But, you know, the experience that Ouma will have got, and especially the last four games of the season when they picked up 14 points, they're on a run, and they will not, as you say, want to be relegated, and they will want to be sort of carrying the flag for the rugby here in the North West.
Yeah, just back to the Strabane game, there's a later start than normal. The rugby matches, as we know, in the province all start at 2:30. It's been put back to 3, a delay to the kickoff, Alec, for an important game also taking place for Strabane youngsters.
Yes, indeed. Corrine, to be fair, and I had no problems apparently saying they're quite delighted to do that. It's the Ulster Club's under 14 final. And the young boys from Strabane are going to be lock horns with the young guys from Virginia. That match kicks off at 12:30 at Ravenhill. And I mean, what a big opportunity for young 13, 14-year-olds to be getting the opportunity to run out onto the Kingspan, you know, in front of all their supporters and everything. You know, it'll be something they can talk about for the rest of their lives. I can assure you, Austin, there's a lot of boys I know who are very good rugby players, never had the opportunity to put their boots on at Ravenhill. So it is a massive day for the young boys of Strabane and Virginia. And then, of course, it'll be all into the cars and buses straight down then to Corrine for Strabane to support their team then. And hopefully they'll make it a double for that day. But Bert Galbraith, their chairman, phoned me last night, and he was very confident that things would go well. So let's hope that the young Strabane boys can pull it off, and as we hope Strabane will do the same in that playoff. But big game, big day for Strabane, and I think it's a credit to the underage coaching and all the people who spend their time on Saturdays and Sundays coaching these young boys and putting them through it. And they deserve the rewards at this particular time.
And listen, we all hope Ouma's going to win and retain their position in senior rugby, which means those promotions and relegations and Ulster Championships can take place. Now, if Strabane were to pull off a result, which would be huge, they would find themselves in Championship 2 next year with big games coming against the likes of Letterkenny and, of course, City of Derry, which would be, there'd be a lot of derbies here in this region, so there was. But from that point of view, it's going to be very, very competitive, particularly with City of Derry, Alec getting relegated, not the season that they wanted, and they sort of find themselves in a pickle at the moment because it's been a really, really difficult number of years for the Judges Road side, so it is. What's going on in there?
Well, it's hard to say, Oisín, but as you said there, actually, you have to add Limavady into that as well in Championship 2. They finished fourth last year, so there will be a lot of local derbies, and I can assure you that, you know, Letterkenny and Strabane and Limavady, if it works out, talking to the players, they'll only be too delighted to either go to Judges Road or the Derry boys coming down to them. It has been a disastrous season, Oisín, to be quite honest. I mean, they haven't got a point. They won the first game, yes, and then, of course, they lost that because they cried off two games. Six or seven games were pulled up about 50 minutes into the game when the score was in the 50s and the 60s. And the number of tries that they conceded throughout the season, they did lose a few players at the start of the season, a couple of boys to Rennie. But, you know, you can't stop a young boy moving from Championship 1 and going into Division 2B in All-Ireland Rugby. I mean, that's what it's doing. And as far as I've heard, there's maybe a couple of other players maybe going to other teams. City of Derry's biggest problem at the moment, Oisín, is that for so many years, they flew the flag for the North West. Any young player who had any ambitions and who was any use playing in any of the local clubs I've just mentioned, he would have obviously gone to Derry. As it stands at this moment in time, the guys playing in the clubs we've talked about are going to be playing in the same level, and all they're also winning a lot more games than City of Derry did this year. You know, to say that it was a disaster, it just beggars belief what really happened. When you talk about how I'm not sure what's going to happen as far as coaching goes in Derry this year, Eugene Moran was there last year, the Welsh guy. I don't know whether he's staying on. There are talk that Neil Beddow, a former winger, is coming as a backs coach, but it's very hard to coach backs if you don't have the talent there. As regards, you know, Letterkenny, they have moved on. Wee Fergie has left them, but Adam Bratton has taken over, and Richard McCarter, the former City of Derry coach, he has now gone as assistant coach to Letterkenny, and Neil Burns, who was a very useful out half, he has gone as player coach as well. So Letterkenny have strengthened in that direction immediately. Limavady are very happy with the situation they've got. Stepan, certainly, if they get up, have got it, because they have a South African coach and who's over here, and also they have got a lot of good young players. But from City of Derry's point of view, from what I've heard, there are a few other players now who are maybe thinking of going elsewhere. But to be quite honest, and I don't think that anybody at City of Derry would disagree, when I watched some of the games last year and watched the standard of play and how Derry just conceded try after try after try. Number one, it was not nice to watch, but number two, I would have hated to be wearing a green jersey and having to go out and do that every Saturday. There needs to be a big haul overall in City of Derry next season. Otherwise, who knows, they could be talking about Championship 3 this time next year, and I hope that's not the case. But one has to be a realist and look at the facts this year, Oisin.
Letterkenny, they're going into next season. Are they finding themselves in a stronger position, and are they teeing themselves up for what they will hopefully be a promotion run season next year? Because they brought in Richard McCarter. There's players coming back from the likes of City of Derry. They've got players who've joined from City of Derry. We understand there's more to come as well. But are they just putting themselves in a position that next year is going to be different for them?
Well, I think that this year has been quite difficult for them, and they won the key games, especially that Korean game, and that showed what they were made of. I mean, there are a lot of very good young players at Ting, especially in the backs. And I think that, you know, no disrespect to Fergie, but, you know, he was an all-round coach. I think Richard McCarter will really enjoy working with the back line at Letterkenny. There's a lot of very good young players. I'm not going to mention individuals, because overall they look a very good team. And I think that's it. I think the ambition for Adam Bratton as head coach and his other coaches this year will be to consolidate and maybe move up and try and finish fourth or fifth in that league, and then maybe the year after that build on, because it's still very much a building process. People do not realise, Oisin, that this Championship 2 is as strong as it is. I mean, I watched the Ards team play against Letterkenny, and I mean, you know, they only finished fourth, so the quality of the teams in that league are very, very high. You know, City of Derry will have to go to places like Virginia. That'll certainly be a wake-up call for them in that one. So overall, it's not. But from Letterkenny's point of view, I think it's a matter of building on what they have this year. Get the new players, whatever players come in, and the coaches, and who knows what could happen. But I would be delighted if they could finish in the top end, say fourth or fifth, or even slightly maybe further up. But that's a big challenge now for the new coaches. And lastly, I wanted just to say, Oisin, in Championship 3, Inis Sheoghain, in their first year in junior rugby, they have finished, I think it's in 7th position, because they've a game tomorrow against Civil Service, which one would imagine they would win. And for them in their first year to win 5 games coming up from minor rugby has been tremendous. And let's hope that they can also build on their performances.
Yeah. Best of luck to Inis Sheoghain at the weekend, and well done on what has been a super season for the men from the peninsula, the Inis Sheoghain Peninsula in Donegal. It's been fantastic. Listen, Alec, it's always good to talk to you, and I'm sure you will continue to enjoy the rugby over the next few weekends as the season wraps up.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward, Oisin, to going to Korea on Saturday, and also on the 24th, because whatever happens, I mean, it's an amazing season where there'll be four clubs for the next 2 weeks. They'll be praying every night and looking after themselves and hoping, well, maybe it might be our year. And I think that Omagh will never have as many outsiders supporting them as they will on the 24th of April.
All right then, Alec, take care, and we'll talk again soon. And that's it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. So what's left of your Thursday, enjoy the continued sunshine. Chris Ashmore will be back tomorrow morning after 8:30 news with our next sport. Good evening.